All right, Mark's Gospel 1. Let's go straight. We're still looking at the name of Jesus. Mark's Gospel 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written, behold, in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, Mark has done something very, very remarkable here. He has read two texts that are interrelated. And he has given us what you readily call the sunemi of scripture, that is how scriptures must be read together. That's what Mark has done here. Because he starts with Malachi. Malachi 3. Malachi 3. And verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he comes, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, Malachi is reading from Isaiah 40. That's exactly what Mark has done. Mark has not done anything unique, because all prophets interpreted earlier ones, and they used what we have called the codified language, where there's an assumption again that you are reading the same books. Is that clear? Now, I'll start from one. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that our warfare is accomplished, that our iniquity is pardoned. For she had received of the Lord's hand double for all our sins. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. You know, that's what Mark wrote afterwards. Mark 1:3. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, by the time you hear wilderness, you are going back to the Exodus. Now, in Malachi 3:1, he uses the word Malak. 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 So there are two messengers here. I need your attention here. He says, I send my messenger, Malachi 3:1, and he will prepare the way before me and the Lord. Before me. Now, the Lord is speaking. He says, before me and the Lord. Two persons. Hello? Two again. Before me and the Lord. Or the Adonai, the Yahweh. Okay? He says, whom you seek shall suddenly come into his temple. That the Lord, whom you seek, will come, even the messenger of the covenant. So how many messengers do we have? Two Malak. Now, like I said to us, the English translations, I've just unified everything as messenger, or call it servant. But the word Malak here, let me just give you some Hebrew meaning. It's actually spelled K. That's the word. Look. Like, look. You know, we've said that usually there is no vowel, right? Look. So, it means, it's usually a verb form. It means to send. Right? To send, or a message, or work. So the prefix, ma, to send. So, lak is send, message, work. Sorry, let me take that back. Send, message, work. Ma, M-A, is a prefix to put a verb to it. To send. To send. To speak. So, it can be to speak, to send, to walk, to act. Is that clear? So, remove the thinking of angel. To speak, to walk, to act, to say, to do. Right? That's the word malak. So here we are. We have the messenger of the messenger. Okay? So, if Malachi is referring to Isaiah, and Isaiah is going to Exodus, then what rings the bell? Where's the alert? Alert is not always money. Exodus 23, correct. This error of this Malachi 3:1 has been used by denominations. In fact, there's a particular person who said he is the messenger of the covenant because of the wrong interpretation that is given to this. You know why? Because the word malak, which is translated agelos in the Greek, is also used for human messengers. And it's also another shade of the word apostle. So you have it. Exodus 23. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee to the place which I have prepared. Does that resonate? Malachi 3, the way. Isaiah 43, the way. However, the King James says, I send an angel. But let me read the Septuagint for you. The Septuagint. Exodus 23. I myself am sending my angel. Okay? I'm sending my angel before your face. So it's not an angel, it's my angel. You know, I told you the challenge of translations where they don't want to present God as an angel. I told you that, right? And they juxtapose words. But, you know, it's not scary if it's properly explained. My angel. Now, it says in 21, beware of him. Why? What is specific here? And obey his voice. Now, of course, if Malachi says he's the messenger of the covenant, that takes you to the Exodus, right? Come on. Good. So he says, obey his voice. Provoke him not. Now, Moses later on, this is so important, so you just know this. Deuteronomy 18, obey his voice. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. So, the first one is apostle, right? Come on. This is prophet. Okay? From the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall you also what? Hearken. So that angel is also called prophet. Now it says, like me will mean as a man. So look at 18. I will raise up a prophet from among thy brethren, like unto thee. I'll put my words in his mouth, he shall speak unto them. So this is humanity. So which means, This is cryptic, but just put it somewhere. The offices, you know, I told you before that the offices are Old Testament expressions. Okay. So the offices that we find Apostle Paul, Evangelist, Pastor, Teacher, I told you before that this is Paul. Was it yesterday? Okay, yesterday, where we said that God uses intelligent people. Can you remember? And you see, Paul was more verbose. He was more explicit. When you talk about the gifts of the Spirit that we call today, Peter just said, if you have received a gift, there was no explicit explanation. Because when you take the word gift, which he uses there, doria, and the charisma that Peter uses, you go to the Old Testament, then you unbundle it. You see utterances, revelations, miracles, and all that. Paul now broke it down into bits and pieces. Why is he able to do that? You know, the same way today, when you are exposed to, you know, I told you yesterday that the authors of Scripture read other books, right? Are you here? And that, there's no way, for example, as a preacher, I'm saying this by express. There is no way I can separate my training as a lawyer from how I preach. It's not possible. Because it affects the way you think. So you think critically. So the more you expose yourself and you are able to, grasp communication, you know, logical explanations, it helps the way you also teach. That's not the gifts of God. Okay? But as we know, the scriptures is 100% God, 100% man. There is that influence of Moses all over scripture. Not because his words are fundamental. No, he's actually teaching Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Moses, because he's now in Egypt, where the highest form of education, as it's assumed that in their world, was found. He went to call it the Ivy League schools. He's well read. So he's able to interpret things better. And this is how I see education generally. That's how I see it generally. In my studies outside the spiritual, call it that, I'm able to also understand a couple of things. Not to influence my theology, no. It is to be able to communicate it better. And sometimes even understand it. So, pay attention to this. This is important. We said that, look at the three key men. People will agree with my Isaiah part, but you will agree with it eventually because Isaiah was very, very quoted. Because Isaiah, the 66th book of Isaiah are heavy. And of course, Daniel. I'll place Isaiah and Daniel together because Daniel was, there is no New Testament author that doesn't use Daniel heavily. In fact, Jesus used Daniel so much that phrase son of man is Daniel. The son of man. And when he says, seated on high, far above, that's Daniel. Okay? Then you now find David, more often than not, let me take that out. So I don't want to say about this. So you have Isaiah. But outside the two, you have Moses and Paul. And what is unique about them was that they had very sound secular education. Very sound. I love what E.W. Kenyon says. He says, eternal life makes a man love education. So, within these two, we now said that Paul now took the functions, you now see that the function, I'm going to see it now, the function of Jesus before his humanity were the functions in his humanity. And so, he gives the same functions to the body of Christ. So which means the apostolic office, prophetic office, evangelistic shepherd office are woven together as elder. They are functional, not titles. We said that over and over again. So you say, he said to heed him. Deuteronomy 18:18. Now go back to Exodus 23. Stay in church. Look at verse 21. My name is in him. Okay? Name, alphabet, or person? Person. It's not I'm going to write my name. No, that's not what it is. J-E-S-U-S, that's not what it's saying. My name. Okay? Look at Isaiah 30 verse 27. The name, one of the names God is called is the name. Imagine. Sorry, let me take that again. Let me take that again. One of the ways that God is described is the name. The name. Reputation, presence, influence. Isaiah 30. Now some say, why is the scriptures using different words for the same thing? Now look up, let me ask you. If you read a book today, and the book uses just one word throughout, will not be boring. You have the guy, the principal, the man, he, right? I thought about the same person. The same person. Look at today now. If we're talking and I say Shekpe Club, he rings a bell. Say, oh, and you just say Agbero. You know, or noisy, let's say noise makers. I know you are not really offended. Walk in the spirit. No, but it makes the conversation, you know, lively, right? So you see that the authors will employ different expressions, right? What it does is that now descriptions widen your understanding. Is that clear? Alright. Isaiah 30 and 27. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar. Is he saying that alphabets are coming? No, the presence of the Lord. So the name, the substitute name for God. And you see, oftentimes, the Jews, very careful of mentioning him, so they use the word name. Burning is anger, and the burning of their heavy, his lips are... So it says, now mention the word, look at the name now. It says, his lips is anger. So the name, now look at 28, his breath. So his name has lips, has spirit. Is that clear? Did you see it? Did you see it? Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob, of the God of Jacob defend thee. So another way to express the God of Jacob is to say the name, the Lord, sorry. You can replace the word Lord with the name of the God of Jacob. So look at John 17. Verse 6. Let's read that one together. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested... I'll wait for you. Quickly. You there? I have manifested thy name unto men. I've manifested your name. He's not talking about alphabets. Your essence, your presence. So go to Exodus 23 again. For my name is in him. 22. If thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I say or speak, notice, obey his voice. I. See, I and is. Can you see it? Look at it. Obey his voice, do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Verse 23, for my angel shall go before thee and bring thee to the Amorites and the Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, and the rest. And I will see my eye. See it? Are you seeing it now? Are you seeing two persons? My eye. 24, thou shalt bow down to their God. Thou shalt bow to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve. Now, this is God talking. You shall serve the Lord your God. Can you see it? You shall serve the Lord your God. Okay? So, that means the angel is who? The Lord your God. Are you following this? Are you following this? And he shall bless thy bread and thy water. He will bless you. And I will take away sickness from the midst of... Can you see the interplay? Can you see it? So, if you study the Old Testament very well, you will see two persons. Distinct, yet they act together. They act as one. The Lord your God. Look at Exodus 16:26. The same information. 15:26, I already say. If thou will diligently This is Lord speaking. Hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, 15:26, and will do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which are brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So you have seen two persons, right? Huh? Two. So when Jesus says, my Father walketh either to I walk, is that in the Old Testament? Huh? Yeah. Look at Exodus 3 again. So when we say the name, Exodus 3:14. I'll start from 13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to Israel of Israel, thou shalt say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, has sent me, say unto you. And he shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? So, name will definitely be, you can also add this, a visible expression of someone is his name. Or manifestation. What is his manifestation? Then he said to Moses, I am that I am. And thou shalt say to the Israel, I am as sent me to you. I am that I am. Go to Exodus 23 again. Verse 26. There shall nothing cast a young for, nor be barren in the land, the number of thy days will I fulfill. So, when Jesus is healing the sick in the four gospels, is that the first time? Huh? But the first time as a man. So, Jesus, this is critical, Jesus takes the place of man to let us see that the partnership with God and man is possible. Right? So, it is the Lord that healeth, who heals as a man, as the Lord that healeth. Look at 27, Exodus 23. I will send my fear before thee. Can you imagine? I will send my fear, my reverence. I will send my angel, my reverence. I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I will make all thy enemies turn their backs on thee. So, you will find the Lord speaking of the Lord. Exodus 20, again. And verse 7. I'll start from 2. And the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee graven images. Look at 5. Thou shalt not bow yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. So, again, he's speaking of someone else. Exodus 34. And verse 6. Exodus 34 verse 6. The Lord passed before him. Now this is the Lord passing before Moses. And proclaimed. Now the Lord is passing and the Lord is saying. The Lord God. Merciful and gracious. Long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So the Lord is speaking of the Lord. So John picks on this. John 1. Verse 16. No, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? That was just read. Huh? Huh? Come on, talk to me. Full of unique of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then it says 16, of his own fullness have we received grace for grace. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth, Exodus 34 verse 6, came by Jesus Christ. So the Lord that is being proclaimed in Exodus 34, 6 is who? Jesus. Look at Psalm 82. God stands in the congregation of gods. We said that, the assembly of supernatural beings. He judges amongst the gods. Now, what's his judgment? How long will you judge unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked sailor? Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and the needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the functions of the earth are out of course. We read that earlier. I have said, this is God speaking now. I have said, you are gods, you are children of the Most High. You shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Let's look at Jesus' teaching on this. John 10. Jesus does not make it like it's a reported speech. John 10, 34. Is it not written in your law? I have said, you are gods. Now, he's not quoting the whole portion, but he's teaching from Psalm 82. Right? Good. I'm reading John 10, 35. If he called them gods, who is he here? God. If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, how say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified sent to the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I'm the Son of God. So, go to Psalm 82. So God calls them gods, but God calls somebody else God. Verse 8. Arise, O God. Judge the earth. Alright? And thou shall inherit all nations. Second person? Huh? Second person? Psalm 45. Verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. God, thy God, has anointed thee. Did you see it? Huh? Did you see it? Did you see it? God, thy God, has anointed thee. So Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him and delivered them. The angel of the Lord. Now look at verse 8. Taste and see that who? The Lord is good. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. So, when you have angel of the Lord, Malak Yahweh, in fact, the Hebrew doesn't separate it. There's no of. Angel Lord. Angel Lord. Something like that. So, if I suggested this to a transition committee, they should put it as angel God. Angel God. Messenger God. The messenger God. So, he's the messenger God. Now, what does it mean? That is, when he's personally delivering a message, right? Huh? Or personally carrying out a task. He is described as Malak. So, let's go to Judges 2. Learning something? Judges 2. I'm going to have with me my Septuagint again, Judges 2, verse 1. You see how Judges 2 verse 1. I'll read the sentence. A messenger of the Lord went up from Gilgal to the place of weeping. An angel of the Lord, King James, went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I have made you to go up out of Egypt. I have brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Is that the angel of the covenant? Is that the Exodus 23 angel? You shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land. You shall throw down the altars and you have not obeyed, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? So you could see that this is a reference back to what we have read earlier in Exodus 23. Look at Joshua 5. We'll probably look at Joshua 5. Joshua 5. Yeah, Joshua 5. I'll just
put that as a reference. We'll come back to it. Now
we're going to do a comparison now. That Judges 2, verse 1 to 5, hold it with Exodus 23. We're going to make a comparison. Ready? So Judges 2:1, the angel of the Lord, Exodus 23:20, same. Same, okay. I made you to go up out of Egypt. I brought you to the land. Exodus 23:20, same. Is it same? Want to make a comparison? Let's see. Is it the same thing? Okay, good. Then Judges again, verse 2. You have obeyed not my voice. Where do we find that? Verse 21. We want to compare Judges with Exodus. So verse 21, obeyed not my voice. Is that it? Okay. I will never break my covenant. My covenant. Wait. Hold on. 21. Okay, look at verse 22. Obey not voice. Okay. Look at verse Judges 2:2. Sorry. You have thrown down their altars. Their altars. Exodus 23:24. Thou shalt not bow to their gods, nor serve them, nor do their after their works. Thou shalt utterly overthrow them and break down their images. Same. Okay. Verse 3, Judges 2. I will not drive them out from before you. Okay. I will not drive them out. Exodus 23. Verse 22. I'll be an enemy unto your enemies. Verse 27. Destroy all the people to whom thy come, make their enemies to turn their backs against you. 29. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate. So same person. 27. 23, Thou shalt not dwell in their land, lest they make this sin against me, for if thou shalt serve their gods, I will surely be a snare to you. Judges 2:3, I will not drive them out before you, they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. So are we describing the same person? We are describing the same person. Okay, back to 22. Exodus 23. I will, if thou wilt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak. That's actually what is called the covenant. In Judges 2, verse 1 and 2. I'll not break my covenant with you, things I have said. So, look at verse, Judges 2 now. It came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the people, they lifted up their voices and wept, and they called the name of the place Bochim, and there they sacrificed to the Lord. They sacrificed to the Lord. So, the God of Israel is also described as a message-carrying God. A message-carrying God. You know, there's something about teaching something again and again. I remember, I thought this years back, I was laughing last night as I was thinking through today's sermon, the revelations of God. And, you know, I was teaching Exodus 6, 2 and 3 on this. And I could see, and we're not many in the meeting, and I could see their faces like, can you preach something else? So, you see, we're just interacting and it's looking funny, you know. So the God of Israel is called, is it also the angel of the covenant? Now, why is angel used for him? When he personally talks, right? Do you understand it now? When he's personally doing the talking, he's not sending anyone, he is angel or malak. There are other angels in scripture. Alright? And not everybody will see angels say, that's Yahweh. You just worship other gods. Daniel 8, verse 15. To 17, we have Gabriel. Daniel 9, verse 12. To 22, we have angelic beings. Of course, Matthew 1, 20 to 21, the one we know well, appeared to, the angel of the Lord appeared to, Joseph, Luke 1, 19, Luke 1, 26 to 38, we have angelic beings. We'll see all that as we proceed. So it's not like every angel I see now becomes God. No. But the unique thing is this. Whenever God carries his message himself, you discover that this person is worshipped. That's why in Revelation 22, you find John, whatever happened to him, can happen to you and I. Verse 6, the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must be done. Revelation 22, verse 6, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of his book. And I, John, saw these things and I heard. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And the angel said, see, thou do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So which means that this is not the angel Yahweh. Okay? Worship God. So, we do have angels. Now, we do have angels also, just like here, who act like ambassadors. And sometimes when an ambassador is speaking for a country, he would use the first person pronoun as well. But what makes this unique is that in that instance, such beings are never worshipped. Never worshipped. Now, pay attention to the word worship, because we are going to have to explain that. Because sometimes worship just means to respect. Okay? So there are instances where even angelic beings are just respected and honored. It doesn't mean the worship of paying obeisance as God. So we're going to also look at that. Now in Exodus 3, and verse 2. This is Moses. He got to the mountain of God, Horeb, and says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out. When the Lord saw, God called out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, here am I. And he said, draw not near, either put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where you stand is holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. Okay? Of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look unto God. So, you see that there are two persons here again. To look unto God. Again, the statement is repeated in verse 14. I am. And Joshua 5:13, what we wanted to see earlier. Joshua 5:13. Then some. It came to pass as Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, are you for us or for adversaries? So which means that it's so visible that you could ask a question, are you for us or adversaries? Where side are you on? You got a question. And he says, nay, but the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, what saith my Lord to his servants? Are you here? Are you seeing this? To his servants. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto, he's not the captain of the Lord though. He's of the Lord's host, which is the super, heavenly host. Alright? Now said to him, to Joshua, loose your shoe. That's the same person Moses saw, right? Huh? From off thy foot, for the place whereon you stand is holy, and Joshua did so. So when he appears, you will see the distinction. Is that clear? Are you following this? You will see that distinction. Judges 6:22. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Now, when I say when he perceived was an angel of the Lord, it means God himself came to talk to you. Is that it? Eh? Come on. Ah, good. Now he said, ah, O Lord God, because I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said to him, peace be unto you, fear not, thou shalt not die. Judges 13, 21 to 22. And the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah, that's Samson's parent, and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Again, King James, you know, is... And Manoah said to his wife, let's read it on together. We shall surely die because we have seen God. So no man had seen God at any time. What he's saying is the person they are seeing, who is God, is who? Jesus. Judges 13:18. Don't forget Exodus 23:21. His name is in him. The angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask after my name? Sin is a secret. My name. My name. My manifestation. So therefore, God personally delivered messages where he himself in the Old Testament, and that description. So we can therefore, you know, I told you that the word angel is a description, right? It's not a nature. It's a description. It's a description to describe an action when he personally delivers his messages and he doesn't send people. When he does things by himself, it's called angel or milk or malak. Where? So go back to Malachi 3. So what is Mark telling us? Mark is telling us that Jesus is who? The angel of the Lord. Is that it? Huh? I'm not following you. Are you hearing me? That's what Mark, you know, we started with Mark. That's what Mark is saying. That as written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face. The messenger he is describing is John the Baptist. But we know that he is the messenger of the messenger. Is that clear? Just like today, let me explain it to you. Let me break it down. We are the... Oh, let me not say it in another way so that I will not be quoted. Now we have... So I don't say me. We have apostles of the apostle. See why I didn't use we. Huh? We also have prophets of the evangelist of the evangelist. Pastor and teacher of the pastor and teacher. Is it clear now? So that's why he gave gifts unto me. He gave himself. So we said we are the expressions of God in ministry. So whatever we are doing in ministry, who are we replicating? God himself. Is carrying out the task. That's why in the work of the ministry, you see, those who served in the Old Testament, the Spirit is upon them. Same in New Testament. Which means, the person really carrying it out is God himself. You are only an expression of his work. Is it making sense? Aha. Uh-huh. I've been trying to say this thing for some time. As much as 20-something years. Because I know that people's traditional thinking about ministry gifts is quite interesting. It's an interesting thing. It's still interesting. But it's still interesting. Malachi 3. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. Now, look at the background. Malachi 2:17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and delights in them, where is the God of judgment? So they were asking for God. See, when we understand this, by the time we are talking about rapture, I use rapture because I don't have any other expression. Rapture is that event where everything will just turn around fine. But before it turns out, fine, there will be 7 years of judgment. Antichrist will come. It's likely to be a black man. The way it is going now. It could be, or no, it's a Muslim. Because the way we, it's a Muslim. Somebody was telling me, a pastor sent me something, 2 days ago, and he said, sir, he got this information. So he said, the information was that Islam, I don't know whether he has not been listening to me. Islam is having more converts. The rate at which people are converted to Islam is about 8 times that of Christianity. So he said he was shocked. And so he now said, I said, but not in everywhere. That this is particularly Europe and some parts of America. So he was shocked. I said, yes, no. Because when we think, for example, the more we think that the problem of humanity can be solved by technology and money and well-being. You get it? That's where we are going to get to. I think the problem of people, and you find even Christian ministers. I was teasing somebody, was it last week? And he was saying, that everything in this country is just bad. So I tried to tell him that it's a global phenomenon, that things are crazy. Said, no, he said, but this country is extra special. So when he was on, I said, but you preach that we are in Goshen. Are you still, is Goshen still affected? He said, you have started again. I said, no, I'm just saying, you talk about that there's Goshen. That we're in the land of Goshen. You can't, on the pulpit, be telling us that, you know, we have an advantage. And then you are also angry with the government and whoever. I said, you told us that the government does not affect us. That we're under the government of Christ. And all that. He said, but you and I know that that's spiritual. I said, So, so you know. He said, you know, I just feel this. And the same you that are telling people that, look, this land, God has did this. He gave you a word for July. He gave you a word for, when people now travel out, they give testimony. After you are giving them prophecy. So it means the prophecy works outside your ministry. So when we understand this, okay, and we don't, the scripture says that when they say there is peace, there is destruction. So, which means we must use God's nomenclature. I was telling someone the other day, I said, when you say that God doesn't do evil, I said, who defines what evil is? He said, evil now? I said, who defines it now? Somebody has to define it. You can't define to God what is evil. Who is you? You say, God, you can't do that. I say, why? That's evil now. He says, says who? He says, says me. Who are you? You can't define things to God. It is His word that defines what is good and evil to us. Anyway. So, when we say, He said they are looking for the God of judgment. Then he now says here, behold, I send my messenger before you to prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek suddenly will come to Israel, the messenger of the covenant. Exodus 23. Huh? Good. Which means, this is important, that when God does anything, let's use Godhead. I don't like the word Godhead, but I just have to say the reason. When the Godhead does things, you will always find Jesus, right, in the visible manifestation. So every time when we say the Lord cometh, which we call the rapture, coming, come, is an appearance. A redemptive appearance. It doesn't mean that, now look at, God is talking to them and He says, I will come. I mean, how does that look funny? I'm talking to you like this and I'm saying, you want me to come? And I'm talking to you. Ah. Then I say, let's make it real. First of all, run away, then come back. No. So the coming is a redemptive work. That means there's a situation and you want to salvage it. That is the Lord coming. It is not an absence, then a presence. It is an intervention. So the coming of the Lord in the earth is not a return. Like somebody who has gone, rather is a restoration. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So that rapture thinking. Someone said, do I believe that believers will drop this physical body and put on another one? Meanwhile, tomorrow's morning, second service session, teaching, starting, changing your clothes. That's the time. So, we can bring something to change it. So, the coming of the Lord. What is this like? So, everybody's just looking at you and say, so are you saying, and they'll be saying that God is with them, but He's still coming back. So the coming, right, is an Old Testament phrase. Where is the God of judgment? That is, won't you do something about it? Is that clear? That is the coming of the Lord. He comes to do something about it. The day of the Lord. Now, why is a day attached to it? You know, the Yorubas will say that when the cup is full, when the time is ripe. So, Matthew tells us that Jesus said that when the gospel of the kingdom, is preached in all the world, then it is the end of the world. End of the world means that he has claimed everything. So the coming of the Lord is incumbent upon the preaching of the gospel. Are you having fun? Not really. But are you okay? The preaching of it. If you are waiting to disappear, you will not disappear. There's something I want to teach. Maybe in like 10 years, I will explain it. Because, you know, some of these things, it takes a while to undo them. So where is the God of judgment? He said, he will come. He shall come. Now, is the same person talking to them? That means he will intervene. Is that what it is? Aha. Now, look at the phrase here. Behold, he shall come. Behold, he shall come. Isaiah 40. Someone learning something? See, I warn you, if anybody is discussing rapture, just nod your head. That's what I do. Because if you just say yes. Someone was telling me, say, if the Lord tarries, I say, amen. When did it go that he's tarrying? The Lord tarries. Lord tarries. Say, we'll see next year, the Lord tarries. We'll talk, the Lord tarries. If Jesus has not come by then, come to. What's he coming to do? He's coming to take you away. To where? To heaven. Now, where is heaven? The guy is, he doesn't talk. Yeah. To heaven. 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 You know, heaven. Say where? Heaven now. Heaven. Where? Heaven. One planet like that. Where? Isaiah 40. Now look at what he says here. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the... You know, we said that one of the names of God is what? One of the names is, the glory of the Lord is also God. Is that clear? The name of the Lord is also what? It's a description. Shall be revealed. What did Simeon call it? My eyes have seen your salvation. Good. Now look at this. And we shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, why shall I cry? All flesh is as grass. And all goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withered, the flower faded, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withered, the flower withered, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that brings good tidings. Evangelist? Basar? So, he's now describing the messenger. Can you see it? Look at it now. He's saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He now calls the Lord that they are waiting for a messenger. Is he a basar? Evangelist. Is that it? Come on. Good. Then he says, get thee up in the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that brings good tidings. So, the person we are waiting for is bringing a message. Angel of the Lord, watch this. Lift up the voice with strength. Lift it up, not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your... So who is bringing the message? God. Behold your God. So when John 1:14, we beheld his glory. Is this what he's reading from? Is this what he's reading from? Behold. That is, it's an Old Testament phrase to see what God is doing in his interventions. We beheld his glory. the glory as of the only begotten. So to understand begotten of the Father, you'll see the two persons called Yahweh and they are one in the Old Testament. Is that clear? Is that clear? So we have said Father is not biological, right? Come on. Thank you. So John the Baptist plays the role of the messenger of the messenger. He plays that role. Matthew 11:10. The coming of the Lord. Brother Hagin did say this. And, you know, I just smiled. He said that there's just one sign that Jesus gave that is definitely the end of the world. That's what Brother Hagin said. He said, and that is when the gospel is preached all over the world. That's what he said. That's what he said. The end of the world. That's what he said. When the gospel is preached all over the world. And that's what Jesus said. But people are expecting something else. I don't know. In fact, James says that the husband man awaits the precious fruit of the earth. That's what he's waiting for. So, taking evangelism serious, that's the will of God for your life. That's the will of God for God. For God's life. And that's the will of God. Some of you just look at it and say, on Sunday, I was teaching the leaders and I showed them a statistics. I've sent it to some, I've forgotten. And they said that, I think it was about 60% of pastors in a particular country, actually America, that their worldview is not the Bible. So you will see, when someone's worldview is not the Bible, you'll see it in his sermons. He'll just talk. Of course, he will quote scripture, but he's not teaching scripture. He will quote the scriptures, but he's not teaching scripture. He will just mumble things together and just say, you see something? And this is what has made us exchange culture. We are not trying to, modify. We watch what the world is doing. As soon as there was lockdown, and then people started doing Zoom meetings, and people started telling people remote. I'm working remotely. Then I have remote believers. Say, I'm working from home today. So, I'm also worshiping from home. I'm attending church from home. So where do you get that thing from? From the world. Rather, the pop culture. That, since everybody is now, wearing a canvas to native, or is it tennis shoes? Everybody is doing, afro. Say, that's the in thing, man. That's the big deal. Unfortunately, your worldview is being shaped by the world. So we say that many pastors, that they will mix scripture with humanism. There's humanism. Humanism, when people like Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and usually when you see people that are very wealthy, they will appear godly because they will be very humane folks. They would do charity. Was it Bezos that called one broadcaster, and he said, look, I love you guys and what you do. And he gave them $100 million each. Someone now went on Facebook. Are you now telling me? The guy wrote it boldly. And I said, is this not the manifestation of the sons of God the Bible was talking about? And he wrote it and everybody said, yeah! And these Christians were basking. They just say, yes! Stop playing church. Church is not what we do when we come together. Church is what we do when we leave church. The real church is when we step out of that wall and we manifest a lie. They are looking for money. I'm looking for money too. Don't let us now begin to scripturalize this issue. This is a simple thing. We are hustle, simple. Manifestation. The sons of God. And when Paul said, he said, the redemption of our body. He didn't say redemption of money. Body. You are saying, no. And they have this humanity. They have humanity. They don't worship humanity. And they say humanity is what? So they'll be saying that they just want to beautify people. They want to make sure people are fine. That the poor, the amount of money Bill Gates is spending to vaccines. That's why they call him Antichrist. Vaccines. That, why is he spending so much money on vaccines? This guy has a, he has a plan. He wants to give all of us 666. And as you are doing it, you are using Microsoft. He says this one. And they spend a lot of money. In fact, one of them is doing researches to cure diseases. Another person is spending billions. I sat in one meeting. Was it, what year was that? We had that meeting in Accra. They went to another one in Abidjan. And, you know, these guys from this particular foundation, and they were saying they want to invest, that if they, that they're looking at their projections of income, that in the next, say, 50 years, they want to invest close to $10 billion. And they want to do this. And they were saying those kind of, and throughout the conversation, we spoke hours and hours, said, nobody mentioned God. Nobody just, so they were talking about men, you know, we have to make men, you know, men have to live well, men have to, I'm saying, this is the worship of man. This is the worship of man. Let me say something to you. The way we worship God. Now, this sentence is not absolute. I'm just qualifying it. If being poor and sick honors him, we'll do it. We don't choose how to, I'm not saying he wants us to be like that. But that is our worship. We worship him that way. Not no. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to give. So that conversation, everybody was talking about money. And it looked nice because humanity can be worshipped. So it was, in fact, it was this guy that owns CNN that said, what is Jesus coming to do? That if, this is how he said it, Ted Turner, as he has sold it now. He said, what is Jesus coming to do? He said, if the government take things seriously and they help people, then people will have no reason to go to church. He said, Jesus is not coming to do anything. That there will be no reason. He will stay where he is. So if he decides to come, this is how he said it. He said, I will make enough equipment to film these believers as they leave this earth for us. He said he wants to get equipment. Exactly, I changed his mind. You know. But again, the reason why they think like that is false theology. Both the believers and the non-believers are believing a lie. Matthew 11. Learning something? Verse 10. For this is he, Jesus is describing John. He says in 9, is he a prophet? I say to you, more than a prophet, but this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Alright? So, Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. John is his messenger. Mark 1, 2. Learning something? We read that earlier in verse 4, John the Baptist. Then Luke 7, 27. Same thing. So you have John and Jesus are two messengers, right? Huh? John is the messenger of God. Jesus is God the messenger. Is that clear? You notice that John is also called Malak in Malachi 3:1. Good. The messenger of the messenger. Now the one Lord there is Adonai. Adonai from Adon. Adonai. So look at Jude. Learning something here? Jude, I'm going to read verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance. This is Jude speaking. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord having, notice this, the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Now, how many of you have other versions apart from King James? Who has another version? You have... Who has another version? Nobody? Do you have Jesus? Because the Greek says Jesus. Huh? It says Lord. Okay. The Greek actually says Jesus. Because James is direct. Jesus saved them out of the, took them out of the land of Egypt. So that angel of the Lord, okay, look at 4 anyway. Denying the only Lord God. The only Lord God. Who does he call the Lord God? Our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Greek actually says, the Lord Jesus, having saved the people out of the land. Is that angel we read? Huh? You know, it took them out. So, which means, the writers of the New Testament understood who Jesus was. So they had the visibilities. The person they saw was God. So you could see why Paul's response was the way it was. Can you see it? He had now found the God of Israel. He saw the God of Israel. But what would have happened to this Pharisee who knew the scriptures? He's all over the place. And he's hauling Christians into jail, taking letters. He's doing that. Acts 7, he sat there when Stephen was murdered. He heard the message. And pay attention. Are you with me? Pay attention to how Stephen preached. If you listen very well to Stephen's sermon, and you listen to what Stephen said, Stephen led his sermon to Jesus. And Stephen showed clearly that Jesus is the God of Israel. That was the core of Stephen's sermon. And then when they were stoning him, he said, I saw heaven open. And I saw the Son of God sit at the right hand of God. Ah! When they sat down on him, take this guy out. And Saul sat there. He kept the clothes. You know how you keep people's shoes when they are playing set? He kept the clothes for them to do justice. Young man, by Acts 8 is everywhere, by Acts 9 he's taking letters, then on his way. If you are reading that and you have read the Old Testament and you say, Saul. That's how God calls out. That's how that angel calls out. Moses, here I am. Come on. A lot goes off. Say, who are you, Lord? I am. Don't you say the same thing? Jesus, whom you persecute. So, Saul, who is a Pharisee, astute in scripture, it's clear to him that the second Yahweh just appeared to him. So, in that vision, he said, I am that Jesus. You know, there are things like when you have read very well and you have been reading. Have you had this kind where you read and read and you, then a lecturer just comes and he brings everything together. I say, you know, some people call it aha moments or eureka moments. Say, I saw it. I've seen this before. You know, for Paul, he had heard the sermon of Stephen. That's why we shouldn't give up when we are preaching. One guy said this to me, my classmate. He said that, you know, in those days, you guys, they were making fun of me. They said, you know, no, you can't really, we're going to be a pastor. Say, every time we're going, you're always having Bible in your back pocket. Don't mind if I wasn't reading all the time. So you're always just preaching. He said, one day you forced me. The guy is a pastor in the Bible. I said, you forced me to the fellowship. You know, you made me feel really bad because you told me that I can die that day and Jesus will come. That was my sermon. You will die. I remember a cousin of mine. This is not a nice story though, but you know, I wrote an article and that article was normally I would yab many people in my article. I used to yab a lot. I yabbed a lot of people in the article and I used to get a guy who would draw for me. So when I'm yabbing you, I would draw a caricature of you. So some boys have seen it and they said, we're going to beat this guy up. His mouth is too much. For one of them reminded me 2 weeks ago. He said, when you can't start talking like this, you want to beat him up. So they said, so my cousin now told me, and he was like, look, they were planning for you. I just said, you should forget it, that if they do anything, I'm going to write another one. So I was preaching to him. This is a very, very sad story. I'm not too sure. That's why I'm saying the sad truth. And I said to him, I said, Shon, have you talked about getting saved? And then he said, we'll talk about it later. I really took time today, look, afternoon. Said because, and I said it, I said, you might die today. Anybody can say, we'll talk about it. That was the day he died. I remember one day like that, it was in 95 or so. I was in cousin's house and I was talking. I had this uncle, very lovely uncle, nice uncle. Anytime he comes around, you know, he sees you money. He just, everybody happy. Everybody all happy, you know. So he will come and give us money. Everybody just happy, you know. On my bill, everybody just say, yeah, everybody happy. So that day, we're expecting him. And I said, look, that, you know, with all he has done, what he does, if he's not born again, he's going to hell. If he dies tonight, I was saying in the kitchen, you know, kitchen is where all the cousins will stay. Parents are in the living room. So everybody just ignored it. I died that night. I told one, I said, don't tell anybody what I said. I didn't have any vision, no. I was just talking. You know, generally. So, you know, when we preach like that, you just insist. So this guy was telling me, he said, you know, when I left school, he said, and I didn't require anybody. He said, I was a bad guy. Because he was really a tough guy. You know, I didn't even know he was a tough guy because I thought he was a gentle guy. He now told me that every time. So this was later on. This was 3 years ago. So our classes were telling me that. So now he told me that I was gentle. I thought he was gentle. I said, I didn't know. The guy said, I was pretending to you. Anytime you see me and you come for follow-up, I will pretend. And I'm not born again. That's what he said. He said it publicly. He now said that as he left school, was in university, he said nobody preached to him. That at some point, when he now puts his heart, he said, it's time to be saved. He said, when he now went to church and they gave the altar call, he said when he was coming out, he wasn't coming out because of what the person preached. He was coming out because of the things he had heard over the years. So, Paul's life just comes to mind. Who's following what I'm saying here? Over the years. So here is Saul of Tarsus. Don't forget, his background is not even a cult boy or anything. He's a Pharisee. He knows scriptures by heart. He has seen the second Yahweh. He has seen how God, you know, acts. He knows. And he knows that there was someone who is to come. The challenge they had was that it can't be that Jesus because he didn't come to fight. He didn't come to do anything. He just came and he died. And they're not claiming he rose from the dead. Rose where? Who saw him? Where is the evidence? Did you take any shots? Did you take his picture? No, don't come and lie to us. And they were just, you know, killing Christians. So, and I believe that when you have people who are ignorant and are sincere and we pray for them, something is going to happen. That's why we must be prayerful. You will see that the church kept praying. I know all these churches that all these churches, judgment, they die. And all they are saying to die is just people that are entering their contract. People that, you know, very selfish things. And they will pray. They lifted up their voice and prayed, asked for. Again, when they were killing them, they were still praying. You see, Stephen, the first martyr. He said, Lord, forgive them. I know they don't know what they do, and he prayed. And when you see that prayer, what Luke wants you to do is to go back to Jesus and see that Jesus, just like John 17, he's praying for the salvation of the world. At the point of death, Stephen is still laying a burden, having a burden of prayer for the nations. And when Saul, that Pharisee, who knew the law, I am Jesus whom you persecute, he saw that second Yahweh. Who's following what I'm saying here? And that's it. That's it. So, it's obvious, therefore, that Jesus is an Old Testament personality. Is that clear now? Luke 9, and we close here. Luke 9. You learn something? Don't miss Monday. Luke 9. So, the greatest challenge is that, are his actions different in the New Testament? No! Luke 9:35. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Who are we told to hear? You're not told to hear Moses, Abraham, Isaac. No. The one you are supposed to hear is Yahweh, the angel of the Lord. Right? So it shows you that why is this word used? Hear ye him. Jeremiah 18, 15 and 18. Exodus 23, verse 21 and 22. The angel Yahweh. I said, so we can change it now and don't call it angel of the Lord. Say God the angel. Right? Or let's, so that nobody is going to look at you like Latter-day Saints. God the messenger. Is that better? God acting as a messenger. Make it different. Let's change it to God personally messaging. God carrying out his task himself. Okay, we'll continue on Monday.